Intro. We could just start the intro by saying this episode is about Taoism.
Okay.
Keep it simple. Because we just go right into it anyway.
So. Yeah.
Was that the intro?
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. So this episode is about Taoism. Which, honestly, yes, I didn't know much about. And I've just been doing some researching and...
Well, okay. I hear you.
And fascinating. This
is, it is fascinating, but can I... amend that a little bit and say that I also didn't know a lot about it academically, but I think a lot of us feel it intuitively. Like there's something very intuitive about Taoism that makes it different.
Well, it's simplicity.
Simplicity. And it's also for me, when Watts talks about Hinduism, Buddhism, and Taoism, the one that like feels closest to natural living, you know, the kind of hippie way is Taoism. He even says that, you know, you talk about the difference between Confucianism and Taoism. And in Chinese society, Confucianism was for the people that, what he said were like the squares, the people that needed to operate in society. And Taoism was for the hippies, the beatniks, you know, the people, the outcast.
Because, or even just the villagers, like the simpler
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so Taoism...
Well, yeah, let's take a big step back. Yeah. I just wanted to say that because I think you're right. Out of all the ones we've been talking about the past few episodes, this is the one that I knew academically less about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, why don't we back up and then you can give some of the origin.
Right. So Taoism originated in China, and the main principal teacher, his name is Lao Tzu.
Lao Tzu.
And this was happening like 500, 600 BC. So very much at around the same time of Buddhism,
mm-hmm.
but it's a separate school of thought. And then it can be said that there's offshoots of Buddhism and there's offshoots of Taoism and there's Neo-Confucianism. And this was kind of when the melting pot of the three that actually stayed together pretty harmoniously kind of happened.
In China itself or all over Asia?
On that border between China and India,
okay.
I would say,
okay.
was where these philosophies were coming about. So the central tenets of Taoism are simplicity, patience, and compassion.
Simplicity, patience, and compassion. Okay.
And Lao Tzu said that these three principles are our greatest treasures. He further explained that by being simple in action and in thought, you return to the source of being.
Yeah, there seems to be, yeah.
So there's
this idea that
mm-hmm.
you just don't, there is no effort. They really just allow things to do whatever it is that they do. You know, like your heartbeat beats on its own. You know, things do things on their own without much effort. Not to say we completely... just drop out and do nothing, but we just allow things to happen. Watts says it.
It's a bit
says,
go with the flow.
Well, it's go with the flow and then connecting intent and action,
mm-hmm.
right? That there is no separation between whatever you intend to do and the action, that it's just one continuous thing
mm-hmm.
because there's an attachment that comes with intent, right? If we go into a certain thing with some specific idea in mind about what we want to accomplish, then there's attachment there.
Yeah.
And there's this expectation that we should have some sort of result, desirable result.
Whereas, well, I think it's the result can be there. Here the quote is, nature does not hurry, yet everything is accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still want to become a beautiful flower. That is the goal. But you don't need to rush that process of getting there.
And right. And then it'll happen anyway, regardless of your desire or your intent, it's going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If that is your, to use the Hindu term, that if that's your dharma,
mm-hmm.
if that's your role in the ecosystem or role in life.
So here, another quote from Lao Tzu. There's a lot of quotes from Lao Tzu online.
I mean, he was the founder of Taoism.
Yeah,
so
this one says, life is a series of natural and spontaneous changes. Don't resist them. That only creates sorrow. Let reality be reality. Let things flow naturally forward in whatever way they like.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that kind of sums it up. But
it does sum it up.
I was also reading that nature, humans need to live in harmony with the universe. That's kind of the point. We need to live in harmony with the universe. We can achieve that through simplicity, patience, and compassion. And we need to attune ourselves to the universal energy, or chi, mm-hmm. as it's also known.
Right, because, I mean, this we come back to this so many times in this show that we, for whatever reason, we seem to want to get away from that. We want to dominate it. We think that we're above it and that we can circumvent
it. Or we can mold it.
Or we can shape it. Yeah, exactly. And that's what's so attractive about Taoism to me. Now, can we talk about, well, the word itself, it has multiple translations.
Mm-hmm. But it means the way.
The way, the flow of nature. Apparently, it also means to speak, to express, mm-hmm. which makes sense if you put it in our context as humans. That if we're properly expressing and properly speaking our truth, then we're following the Tao, we're part of the Tao. We're not resisting it. We're just letting it express itself through us. And that's just, it's such a beautiful and simple philosophy. Can we talk a little bit about how it played off of Confucianism in shaping China? Do we want to talk about that mm-hmm. at all?
Well, I would say, yeah, you said Confucianism was kind of for the squares. It's a bit more, Confucianism is a bit more of a rigid mm-hmm. ethical teaching.
Right, exactly.
So Confucius yep. had kind of like a book of ethics. The main tenets there were respect, altruism, and humility. So kind of slightly different to Taoism. And Confucianism, there's no kind of gods worshipped, but there's a lot of ancestor worship. So there's a lot of gratitude, a lot of like education is really like admired, being learned, giving respect.
Yeah, there's a reverence with it.
Yeah, which comes more with Confucianism than with Taoism, which is more flow state
mm-hmm.
kind of way of living. And they lived like pretty much at the same time. It is even said that Confucius and Lao Tzu met, and I have a little story about them here, which says, the story has been much discussed by scholars. It is mentioned elsewhere, but the sources are so inconsistent and contradictory that the meeting seems a mere legend. During the supposed interview, Lao Tzu blamed Confucius for his pride and ambition. And Confucius was so impressed with Lao Tzu that he compared him to a dragon that rises to the sky, riding on the winds and the clouds.
So Lao Tzu called him out, and then Confucius respected him for it. That's yeah. cool. Give him some credit for that. I mean, we talk about this a lot, where really opposite things or contradictory things or opposing things are actually just different sides of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Hero needs a villain. Villain needs a hero. Good and evil need each other. Black and white need each other. Light and dark. So I sense a little bit of that playing out.
Well, I think the concept of yin and yang originated from Taoism as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yin and yang, I think everybody knows that symbol, kind of black and white,
mm-hmm.
Like half circles. But it's actually, it's always depicted as a stationary symbol. But the idea of yin and yang is that those two forces are in constant motion.
Mm-hmm.
They're swirling around each other. Nothing makes sense on its own. Like mm-hmm. you can't, Alan Watts always says, you can't have a wave without a peak, with a peak if it doesn't have a crest.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a mountain without the peak if it doesn't have the trough. You can't have a front side without a back side. Everything has to have an opposing alternate force.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's kind of hot, cold, rise, fall, but basically it's this fluctuating energy, this rhythmic fluctuation of wavelength kind of, you know, concept that is, that's brought up. And it's brought up here, it's brought up in all religions, kind of. We discussed in Hinduism that you have Shiva and like Shakti, male and female energy. In Christianity was the first time that they changed it to heaven and hell, and then it suddenly got a positive and a negative connotation. But the tenet is the same, that there is always a light and a dark. But in Christianity, it became a positive and negative association between the two. And right. then that was where we said, okay, we all need to go to heaven. We all need to do the things that'll get us into heaven. because heaven is good, when in reality there are just two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, definitely. So this reminded me of, I think this was Confucius that said that the goody-goodies are the thieves of virtue. Meaning basically what you're saying, that when someone takes a righteous stance on something and says that we are the good, that is the evil, we're fighting the evil for the triumph of the good, mm-hmm. that those people, like you said, are the thieves of virtue, meaning that you will do anything, bad or good, you know, negative, positive, however you want to define it, in order to protect or perpetuate your righteous belief. Mm-hmm. You believe it so much that you are good, quote unquote good, or you are right, that you'll do anything.
Yeah, and that any makes you bad. Of
horrible things.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what, I mean, I hear that. And that it's a tough thing to, it's not a tough thing to wrap your head around, but it's a tough thing to reconcile with modern society. Because there are some things that we could say are objectively bad, mm-hmm. right? If you look at it in the context of our lives, like someone murdering somebody, mm-hmm. we know that that is a bad thing to do because you're taking somebody else's life. Obviously, it goes without saying. But if you take a step back in the grand scheme of things, for whatever reason, mm-hmm. those energies do exist in this world. And I guess it's a matter of keeping them in check. And that's why it seems to me, based off what we learned about Taoism and Confucianism, that China at that time maybe needed those two philosophies.
Maybe needed both, right?
Right.
Confucianism is a bit more rigid, ethical mm-hmm. guidelines of how to live.
Because we do need yeah. ethics. We do need some things that we objectively say, whether if you deal with just the practical day-to-day, we do need certain things that we all agree on are not positive things for our community or our society.
Yeah.
Now, you can always take a step back and think about them more philosophically and abstractly, but I think that's where I get hung up a little bit, because as much as Taoism resonates with me, that you could say, well, if you fully buy into that idea, mm-hmm. that you can kind of justify anything, any behavior, any action. Because
I don't know, because I think we're maybe narrowing down what the Tao Te Ching kind of, you know,
yeah,
like I think yeah. there's probably a lot of not ethical, but like moral guidelines, because in the central tenet is that you need to live harmoniously with mm-hmm. nature and the universe. So if you're in a state of anger and you go out and murder someone, then you're not living harmoniously in the state of nature, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think they have to kind of fall. There's the overarching, like, moral code, which is, you know, don't resist, don't fight. I think that's kind of the key teaching, is actually, because if you're in a state where you want to go and kill somebody, you're already in a state of resisting. Mm-hmm. You know, if instead you'd be able to maybe grapple those feelings and calm down, mm-hmm. would be the Taoist way of dealing with that problem.
That you wouldn't even be confronted with that,
yeah.
that to begin with. Yeah, I could see that. And there was another thing I was listening to. It was a passage from the Tao Te Ching. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how if you don't compete with the world won't compete with you. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I feel that deeply and intuitively, but I struggle with it too, especially when the world, or at least certain parts of the world, they will, if you allow it to, kind of control you and take over and dominate you. And there is a level of engagement that you have to have in order to compete, in order to survive. So is it possible that we have changed the rules so much as humans, and in specifically like developed civilization and societies, that actually there is kind of a kill or be killed, metaphorically, not literally, mm-hmm. that we have to engage in from time to time? Because if you look, I mean, I always come back to natural ecosystems. I say natural ecosystems that exist without humans or without too much human intervention, that there are organisms that are killing and eating other organisms, or in some cases, just killing them, just dominating them for some advantage,
it's
whether it's territorial.
Generally in nature, it's there's a necessity behind
yeah,
the
but
murder.
But sometimes the necessity can just be a matter of territory, though. That's the necessity. I mean, if you look at some primates, they will basically essentially murder each other for territory, or at least beat the shit out of each other.
Murder and probably eat too.
Though. Yeah, I imagine. Yeah, I mean, like, but maybe the
eating. It's not eating, mindless murder.
Like, I mean, I don't study primates, so I don't know for sure. But I mean, but what's to say what is mindless murder, right?
But that what if I'm you, like war, like sending thousands of people to fight a cause that has nothing to do with them. Whereas the people who are involved in the tribal wars, for example, I think Lawrence Blair was kind of explaining to us, like, they are very much involved in that tribe.
But how is it any different, though? All it is your tribe is bigger. If you live in a nation state where you're being sent overseas to fight a war, now you could make the argument that it's not a necessary or just war, but it's the same rules. I mean, they're territorial infringements. No, because
the individual who is going to war in the modern sense is not generally associated with the government making the decisions.
Well,
to go to war.
You have to give a very specific example of that. I mean, if you look at 9/11 and you look at what happened after 9/11 America, I'm not saying I'm making this argument. I'm just saying that some people would and could make the argument that that was a direct attack on American soil. And that's why, again, don't look at me like that.
Was it though?
Well, I mean, we are certainly going to talk about that in season two, because you know I have a lot of thought. But I'm just saying, no, I don't necessarily agree with that. And I know there are many other things at play. You know, I will get deep down the conspiratorial rabbit holes.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that.
But even the way that war progressed, it wasn't necessarily a war. It wasn't really a war of territory. You know,
well, it is like, in a larger scale geopolitical sense. It's absolutely a war of territory. That's all wars are.
But it can't be compared to like the tribal war, where it's like you're literally my neighbor tribe and we're trying to like.
In a globalized world, it can. In a globalized world where everything is interconnected, even if you're thousands of miles away, because things are so dependent on global trade, that it can. It's the same thing. It's just at scale. In my opinion,
I don't know.
Now there are other,
but
because
there was
not,
also
though?
So many other motives behind that war, like oil
but
the people fighting the war didn't even have any fucking clue about those things.
But even if oil is the take, we'll say that's completely true, that it was the main motivation was oil. That is still territorial, absolutely, 100%. There's oil in the ground. One country, this country being the United States and Europe. Let's not leave Europe out of this. You know, there are a lot of Western interests that aren't just America that took advantage of what happened in Iraq and in Afghanistan. That so even if that is the case, that's still territorial. That the Western world built up.
But not in the same way that it is for animals nature is maybe how.
Well, no, but I wasn't comparing it to animals in nature. I was comparing it to tribal warfare. So if you take a tribe,
even then,
indigenous
tribe
somewhere.
Even then, I think if we were to look into tribal warfare, we'd find it a lot more civilized then.
More civilized? In what sense?
In the sense that, okay, fine, you come into our side and killed somebody, or we go over there, and then they end. Like, tribal wars generally don't, you know, go on forever. I don't know.
Well,
but like, there is a conclusion, whereas in Western modern wars, they always are like, this is the conclusion, but it's kind of if you look at the Cold War, it was like, okay, we're going to stop communism.
There
like,
was a you're conclusion
already,
to that.
Yeah, but
that
you're was. Already, that's already resisting forces that are at play, you know, like.
Who resisting what?
Well, the containment policy. Like, this is an act, if you're comparing it to Taoism, that's not very Taoist, because then you're resisting the natural process of communism.
Yeah, but who's to say that the emergence of communism was quote unquote natural, though? Any more natural than, because you could make the argument.
Perhaps it wasn't.
You could make the argument that free market capitalism is much more in line with natural order than communism. Communism exercises an incredible amount of control over society and individuals that limits free expression. So
like
I would argue
ants are like communists. So
yeah, but
it does
would,
occur in nature, like these.
Well, I'm not saying it
forms.
Doesn't. But I suppose. But we're not ants, though.
We are. We're the ants of the planet Earth.
I mean, not really. The ants are
the ants
of planet Earth. But you see what I'm saying, though, that a pure free market system encourages diversity and encourages things to emerge and die off if they can't survive.
This I agree with.
Communism does the opposite. Communism says that there is one central source of power and that it'll equalize the playing field for everybody.
So ants work like that. Bees work like that.
Yeah, but
it does occur naturally.
But we're not ants and bees, though. And wouldn't you?
If you zoom out, we've done to the surface of this planet what ants have done underground.
Well, but we're not talking about the impact on the planet. I'm just talking about our capacity for free expression, for creativity, for things that are, I think, are in some ways unique to humans. But the thing is, that works for ants. Does it work for humans? I mean, if you look at the Soviet Union, and we have a little bit of experience with what happened, you know, because of the communist takeover of Russia and the subsequent Soviet Union with all the Russians here, there is a reason that all the Russians here in Bali are the way that they are. It is because their country is multiple generations
behind.
Communist
China, same.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But it doesn't
No, it makes it.
It's still natural.
But in what way, though?
How just because they didn't turn out very polite in your eyes. It's still
No. I'm saying that they are multiple generations behind and the country stagnated because they completely suffocated any free thought, any free expression. Art in the former Soviet Union almost completely disappeared.
I mean, all the things that you're saying are happening now in China.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, we can definitely speak about China. I have very strong feelings about China. But getting back to Taoism, you've got a little bit of information on this about when they essentially outlawed
all religion. Because it became a communist state in 1949.
Exactly. So China is a perfect example. We can certainly talk about China because what happened under Mao in China was, I mean, I'm not going to argue whether or not it's natural or not, but I will argue that it was not healthy for the country. And it just turned out the ramifications of that have not been healthy for the planet. Because you look what China is doing now, that it is like the exact opposite mindset of the Taoism, of a Taoist mindset, wouldn't you say? Because they're exercising an extreme amount of control over their population. Mm-hmm. They're stifling free expression. They're making the priorities of the state above the priorities of the individuals, the health of the individuals, the security of the individuals. So I will never get on board with any kind of communist idea because it, in my mind, for exactly the reason you described it, communist states, communist countries are always secular, not just secular. They're vehemently anti-religion because religion gives something for people to believe in. And in a communist state, they want them to believe in the government. But getting back to Taoism, you want to play this quote from Watts?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Let's play it.
Well, first, I don't think I have that one. I think I got the other one. But he was saying how the Tao Te Ching was written for a lot of different reasons. But for one of the reasons that Lao Tzu wrote it, or one of the purposes it served, was a guidebook for rulers. And he was saying that the best rulers they just allow things to happen, right? They don't take any credit for the things that happen. They let things express themselves, the exact opposite of communism. So anyway, I didn't know you were gonna advocate for communism here. getting back to the ants, that works because ants, I mean, you can argue how or if ants are sentient, but the reality is that a worker ant that's enslaved, so to speak, in that ant system and civilization, I mean, they must be content or healthy in some way because those societies, ant societies, thrive, right? And they don't go out and create, you know, mass chaos and murder each other that I know of. Mm-hmm. Us, on the other hand, when you try to control humans in that way, we go crazy, right? We go crazy or we just lose hope. Getting back to China and Russia.
In that way, yes. But I think humans are being very much, even in a capitalist society, humans are being controlled in a certain way.
But okay, and are still worker ants in their own way. I'm not advocate, but here's, we need to be very specific when we talk about, because I think people mix it up. When a lot of people talk about capitalism, what they're actually talking about is corporate socialism.
Okay.
And they're socialism. But I mean, it's a very important distinction mm-hmm. because a pure free market system as envisioned by people like Adam Smith is not what we live in. When we criticize capitalism, that's actually not what we're criticizing. We're criticizing the confluence of big government and big corporations mm-hmm. and stacking the game against average humans. That is not, it's almost the exact opposite of free market. Because a free market would say, like, take 2008 crash, for example. Mm-hmm. A free, like, true free market principles, capitalism at its core, would say all those banks that made bad investments, they should have just failed. But no, the government came in and bailed them out, and that pissed a bunch of people off because it was like, well, this is unfair. So mm-hmm. that in my mind, that is more, way more closely aligned with a communist socialist mentality than a free market mentality. So that's where I get a little bit, I think it's really important that we get it straight when we talk about capitalism and the bad things about capitalism. Most of what we're talking about is not free
but
market
isn't,
principles.
Isn't corporate socialism just a sort of natural progression from capitalism?
It is if you allow the government to keep controlling things and you stifle the rights and the abilities of individuals, absolutely. But that's what I mean. It all comes back to this idea that, well, the government, one central source of authority, knows best. And that, getting back to Taoism,
right?
That's the opposite of what Taoism preaches. Or preaches is the wrong word, but that's the philosophy of Taoism mm-hmm. is that there is no central authority. Mm-hmm. That it is all one big organism. Mm-hmm. And that when you let things go and you let kind of what is perceived to be chaos happen, you actually maintain order. You maintain more order through that. So it's a tricky one. It is a tricky one. And I don't know. I don't pretend to know all the answers, but I just find it interesting when people criticize capitalism that, well, what's the alternative? You want the government to control every little thing? Because we've seen what the government does with power.
Well, what is the Taoist alternative?
Well, I think exactly that. I think that if you want to...
How would you apply that to what state we've got in now?
Well, and I think this is why, and people should probably know this about me, because it's probably pretty clear by this last conversation, that I have definitely gravitated more towards like conservative, however you want to take that word, principles, because at the core of them, they do advocate for a more open kind of society in the sense that you just allow things to be, you allow things to run their course. And if you have a big company, right? I mean, let's mm-hmm. just take a very specific example of the banks. If you have a bank that does incredibly well by taking advantage of people, right? And the government allows it to do that. Mm-hmm. And then something really traumatic happens, a shock to the financial system. And that same bank falls apart, loses all of its money. Its assets just evaporate. Its balance sheets just fall apart. And you allow the government to come in and save it. That's still doing the exact
same
thing
we
were doing before.
Way,
it's not the natural
course.
Way. So, mm-hmm. but there is some discomfort you have to put up with on the front side of that. And I think that's what people have a hard time with. People mm-hmm. don't want to just accept the fact that yes, there are going to be ugly things mm-hmm. through that mm-hmm. process. But if you allow that process to play out, it will reach some kind of equilibrium.
Yeah, probably better off than you were before.
You were better off than you were before because then people see and mm-hmm. that financial system will maintain some kind of order and stability. So you allow things to emerge.
Or they'll be like, if that didn't work, we need a new financial system.
Well, yeah. And
probably
that's
what we should do.
Well, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. But yeah. So to connect it to Taoism and I think the modern relevance part of this, we should probably cut. We're like 29 minutes. Well, let's cut right now and then we'll come back because the camera's probably about to turn off. Cool?
All right.
All right. And we're back.
We're back.
Little digression there. So, yeah, I didn't intend for this to be a conversation about politics, but I do think that the example that we were talking about mm-hmm. with the banks, and we were talking about this on the break, you and I, when we weren't recording, but just to, I feel like I didn't explain that very well. The idea is that, so okay, if the government and these quasi-capitalist, quasi-socialist policies, in the case of these banks, that those things allowed the banks to get so big that they couldn't fail,
mm-hmm.
to use that terminology.
Couldn't
let them fail. And then we look to those same policies or the same people that made those policies to fix it. Then that, in my opinion, is not following
the natural course of things. Yeah, this part I agree with.
To just let them fail and say, okay, yes, even though we think that government regulation is important, government regulation is part of what got it to that point to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's all I was saying. But to come back to Taoism, to come back to Watts, we've got a little soundbite from him. And I think that this is him just describing it. So let's just have him describe it in his words, mm-hmm. and then we'll go from there, yeah?
Of course, the basic thing in the whole philosophy is the conception of Tao. This word has many meanings. And the book of Lao Tzu starts out by saying that the Tao which can be spoken is not the eternal Tao. Or there's a pun in there, which you can't quite put into English. You can't give all the meanings, because the word Tao means both the way or course of nature or of everything. It also means to speak. So the actual opening phrase of the book, following this word Tao, is this. You see? And this character means can be, or can, able, something like that. So the way which can be, then give it its second meaning, spoken, described, uttered. But it also means the way that can be weighed. Not W-E-I-G-H, but W-A-Y-E-D. You know, you'd have to invent that word. The way that can be traveled, perhaps, is not the eternal way. In other words, there is no way in which the Tao, or following the Tao, there's no recipe for it. I can't give you any do-it-yourself instructions, A, B, C, D, as to how it's done.
So that's Alan Watts from the Alan Watts podcast, Being in the Way. That's episode one, Following the Taoist Way, to give them credit. So what he's saying there at the end, which is there is no recipe.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore there is no dogma, there is no structure in Taoism, which leaves it open to this interpretation and leaves it open to allowing whatever it is to express itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we were describing in that whole kind of political debate that we had in the first part of the show, which is, and coming back to this question that we come back to a lot, which is, what is natural? What is a natural expression of things?
So maybe all these resisting and all these policies and all these control methods that are being implicated now are natural.
I thought you were going to go the other way.
I'd
be like, oh, I see your point, Chris. I am now a free market capitalist.
Even the bad parts, mm-hmm. of the world we live in are natural.
Well, I think that's what we've come to, is that you've got, there's that Oppenheimer quote. I think I've told you this before. You know, Robert Oppenheimer, mm-hmm. one of the guys that developed the atomic bomb, mm-hmm. he said, well, first he quoted from the Bhagavad Gita when he was talking about, I'm now like destroyer of worlds, but that was a different one. He also said that sometimes the best way to save the world is to stop trying to save it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and gets back to what we were talking about earlier with the righteous people being the ones that are the thieves of virtue,
mm-hmm.
according to Confucius, or the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah, the atomic bomb was created in a effort to make things better.
Well, exactly. Yeah, and I think that's where Oppenheimer was coming from, is mm-hmm. that he recognized that it was made with some kind of righteous intent. And then he realized, whoa, that righteous intent is incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
It's actually, the more convinced you are that you are right, the more dangerous that you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're so committed to your beliefs and your convictions that no matter what those are, even if you could objectively say they're healthy or quote unquote good, that just your conviction that they are that is dangerous.
Yeah, but that's because you're then resisting all the other beliefs and convictions going on in the world as well. So I think you can have those beliefs, but yeah, try not to put them on other people. Try not to like convince people of them, you know,
keep your yeah. Yeah. And this is, I think you and I, maybe we, of course we agree on so much, and at a very deep level, we get each other. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair to say. We're close friends. Yeah. We do this podcast together. This is where you and I diverge a little bit, because I would say, yes, I hear you. I would also say that at some point we have to agree on certain things. And we have to say there are things that you are not allowed to do in a given society or community. Because without that, there's just total chaos. And it was like the quote from Watts that we played last time or the time before, I can't remember, where he said the power of liberation will blow the world apart, right? So it is on us to kind of not constrain. That's the resistance, and the constraint is what we're advocating against, but to properly channel and contain in a way that allows it to express itself without letting it blow the world apart, as he said. And that's, it becomes such a difficult thing to define, because what does that mean? Something different for everybody.
Yeah.
For some people, living a completely free life is healthy. They can feel productive. They can feel stable in that. For other people, it's chaotic. It's dangerous. It represents some kind of threat to their lifestyle. I mean, you take transgenderism in America, it's kind of a perfect example, because people, I don't want to make this too political, but this is what I like about Taoism. It gets right to the core of it. Like, what does that mean to let things express themselves? So taking the transgender example, that if you talk to transgender advocates, they would say, well, I'm just living my truth. I'm being my true self. Now, yes, in some ways, but you're also upending the very basic fabric of reality, basic fabric of biological science, and asking the rest of society to affirm you in that. And what people on the other side of the argument would say, well, no, this isn't just about you. If it were just you, you know, alone, you know, living in some island somewhere, and you identify as a woman, even though you've got a penis, like, that's fine, but that's not what's happening. What's happening is you're saying, no, that doctors should have the right to gender transition people, that I, as somebody who doesn't agree with that, should affirm you and call you by the pronouns that you identify with. You're upending reality in a way that's incredibly destabilizing and calls everything into question. You don't agree with that?
Not really, no.
But
you look at it from the perspective of the person who is transgender, they are living out their truth.
But their truth is a lie, though. Their truth is a delusion.
You don't know what's happening in their mind. Well, like, for them to be trapped in the wrong body and have the ability to change it.
Yeah, but okay, then, but this is a perfect, I love this, because is that a Taoist perspective to say that, first of all, you can't be trapped in the wrong, you can't separate mind and body and spirit. To say that is to say that nature made a mistake.
Like, transgenderism and homosexuality have been going on.
They're not the same thing.
Yeah, but
not the same thing.
What I mean is these things have been going on for thousands. It's not a new
thing.
Having the science to do it is a new thing.
Yeah, but do you think that is natural?
But men have lived for centuries as women in India, but with always a
recognition that they were playing a role. They didn't actually believe that the man with a penis was a woman.
The man who's dressing as a woman does believe.
No,
that.
No, it was performative.
And no, a lot of, it wasn't.
So, no,
the
Hijra, it was.
The Hijra communities in India are not performative. So they live as women.
And society recognized that they were women and said,
and
yes.
And allows them to be Hijras.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, but allows them in what way? So why did India as a nation not completely redefine its whole idea of biological sex?
Because
what's happening in America right now. Why did India not adopt this use of pronouns.
If you want to be, okay, we'll call it a third sex, whatever. If you want to be that, they're not going to try to stop you from being that.
Well,
what's happening now with transgenderism is that you're not allowing the person to be uncomfortable in their body.
No, you're not allowing doctors. You're telling them
that they need to either be a boy or a girl.
They are a boy or a girl.
That is
the reality of it.
You put them in a box that means if you're uncomfortable living as a boy, you need to transition into a woman, which is another box, instead of allowing that person to just be uncomfortable in their skin and live the way they want to live.
But it's not just about them. My point is that those decisions have ramifications for society and everybody else. Because the question is not whether or not somebody can cut off their penis.
The question is, how?
You're upending what we know about biological science.
But it's not they're not asking you to become a woman.
They are asking the whole idea of binary sex to completely be thrown out the window and say there's no such thing as that. And however I identify, that's how I want the world to affirm me. They are saying that their affirmation is more important than anything. Don't think so?
No. I think on an individual level, they have that right.
The right to make other people affirm them in their delusion.
I don't think that. No, they have the right to be who they want to be.
Of course they have a right to be who they want
and
to be.
And people the question is shouldn't not whether, have any problem with that.
Well, but
that's, affirmation
but
or
they're
not.
But they're not the ones who started it, though. It is the person that is transgender that is demanding that other people in society completely disregard what they know to be true about biological sex and the sex binary and say, no, affirm me and my mental disorder. Now, I've had this discussion with people and they say, well, it's not a mental disorder. Okay, well, let me ask you that question. Do you believe that transgenderism is, or gender dysphoria, as it's clinically classified, do you believe that is a mental disorder?
Disorder? No.
So
if it's a mental thing, possibly, but I would not necessarily call it a disorder.
So if it's not a mental disorder, then why do they say that they need life-saving care in the form of gender transition surgeries and medications?
Because they have the right to transition.
Yeah, but yeah, that's not the point. But the point is that if it's not a disorder, then why do they
disorder, because disorder is a negative connotation.
They're the ones saying it's negative. They're the ones saying that they are trapped in the wrong body.
Yeah.
All I'm saying, if you follow the Taoist principle, which is let things express themselves, let them be what they are.
Yeah, so let that man live as a woman way they feel.
But they're not a woman, though.
But let them live as a woman if that is the way they feel.
But again, it's not just about them. Should you allow doctors to do that to people? Should you allow doctors to let...
Yes, because if they want it to be done to them, then it should be allowed to be done to them.
So do you feel the same way about euthanasia?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You feel like that? You think that's a healthy thing for society, though?
Yes.
See, this is where we like that to me. But isn't that also getting in the way of the natural expression of things? Because if you look at the Taoist idea, it is the course of nature. There is no more like serious infringement. There is no more serious infringement on the natural flow of nature and life than ending your own life. That is the ultimate in getting in the way of a natural process. Your body wants to keep living. You say, no, I am God. I'm going to end it.
I mean, you could slit your wrists if you wanted to.
Well, exactly.
We have that right.
Well, it's not about, but... Okay, but now we have to get on the same page about what you mean by rights. Do you believe that rights are given to you by the government or by some higher power?
Higher power.
Okay, so do you believe that that higher power exists just to express itself through you and perpetuate your life, do you think that whatever that higher power is, however you want to describe it, do you think that's what it had in mind and that's what it wants? And that it is giving you that right to end your life if you want to? You think so?
Yes.
Why do you think so?
Because that is an individual decision and an individual right. And you should allow people.
But now you're mixing it up.
The Taoist philosophy of doing things is to allow people to do what they want.
Yeah, but that's not true.
So if a man wants to become a woman, we should allow that. If somebody wants to euthanize themselves, we should allow that.
But do you think that, again, because you don't actually believe that.
I literally do.
No, but you only believe it when it comes to certain things. Because when you say, well, a person wants to own a gun, should they be allowed to own a gun?
If they're not going to use it to shoot up a school, yes.
Well, the vast majority of gun owners do not commit violent crimes. That's, I mean, the vast, vast majority of them. And again, the question comes back to whether or not you should allow other people to do that to people who have some kind of mental, don't want to call it a disorder, that's fine. Now, I would argue that the people that are transgender...
We can call it a condition.
Well, it certainly is according to their own logic, because they say that they need this medical care. They say
for their condition.
Mental disorder. So why?
No, I'm not... We're going to call it a condition.
But okay, so if you need drastic, like, life... This can changes your life dramatically. Can end your life. Those surgeries are incredibly risky. So I think it's completely logical to say that is, and this is their language, life-affirming care. So why would you need surgeries and medications and life-affirming care or life-saving care if it wasn't a disorder?
It's a condition.
Okay, but what is your reason? So if it's a mental condition, why would you not treat the mental part of it? Why would you mutilate the body?
Because our society has forced people to put themselves in a box.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's so what
because
it is.
Well, here's
our
what
society has said: you should be a boy or a girl. But,
okay, first of all, you need to be way more specific about what you mean when you say society, because
humanity,
this boogeyman of society,
humanity,
we have to be very careful with that.
Delineated, there is a man and a woman.
No,
and
that
you
is
can't
not
be
humanity.
Between.
That's biology. Yes, it is. That is biology.
Well, you also have hermaphrodites. You have all
that,
sorts
no, no, no,
of things
okay,
in
let's,
biology.
Let's be very clear here. Hermaphrodites are not transgender.
Yeah, I
hermaphrodites
understand that, but
and
they're still natural.
Are very that is a small, very small fraction. But that's not what we're talking about. That is a
it's
very,
still,
very, very
it's
small
It's still
percentage.
A natural occurrence. What I mean is that the line is gray on that in between. And our humanity has said it's not gray. And if you either are a boy or you are a girl.
Well, it depends whether you're talking about... Well, here's the interesting thing about transgender advocates, though. Because on one hand, they will reject gender norms and reject this idea that, oh, men need to act a certain way and like certain things, like men things and women like women things. So on one hand, they reject that. Yet on the other hand, when they take a young child who starts to... Say they're a young boy and they start to identify, they're like, I like the color pink. I like girl things. Those same people that rejected those gender norms now use those gender norms as a reason to say, well, this young boy is starting to be attracted to things that are associated with girls. It must mean they're a girl.
I don't
that
think
is,
that's
that is happening.
How it works.
In a lot of cases, it is, Ruchi.
I don't think
yes,
that's how it works.
It is 100% how it works in a lot of the cases. I don't think you understand.
I don't agree with that.
Well, you haven't been keeping up.
I absolutely don't agree with
so
that.
So how do you think it happens? Because I had a close friend who was transgender.
Asked them to be transgender?
Ruchi, it
or who
happens.
Did it themselves?
Ruchi, I guarantee you it happens. I guarantee you. You know who Jazz Jennings
is? I think that
is
a small, small, small
it's
fraction
not as
of what's
small,
going
no.
on.
So what do you think is more likely that's going on? Why do you think that there is
that
a 20-fold increase in people, young kids in a lot of cases, identifying as transgender just over the past couple of years? I would say that is directly related
because
to a social contagion.
Because it's become more accessible
Now
kids that never had that opportunity to do those things now have an opportunity to do those things.
Ruchi, kids That's will what, say all kinds of things. Kids will think they're a fucking dragon. Kids will think that they're living in a magical fairyland. It does not mean as parents, as adults, it is our responsibility to say, that's cool, have an imagination, but it doesn't mean you are that thing. Because
agreed.
Humanity
agreed.
And society
I don't think
did not.
These things are taken as lightly as you. As
oh, no, Ruchi, they are.
Portraying.
They, well, okay. If they weren't, then again, why has there been a 20-fold increase just over the past couple of years
because
in young kids identifying
more
as transgender?
There is access to it. And
yeah,
the
but,
kids 20 years ago yeah, but, didn't have those opportunities.
Okay, but here's this is.
And it wasn't, it wasn't as mainstream and it wasn't as talked about. And now people are like, oh my God, I can do that. When 20 years ago, that wasn't an option.
Yeah, but okay, that is operated under the assumption there is no such thing as a social contagion and no such thing. You know, you're familiar with that social contagion.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't think that's even a little bit responsible for this. Not even a little bit. You don't think that young kids growing up in America, especially really progressive areas, and they see transgenderism being this trendy thing that can actually gain them points, power.
I don't think so.
You don't think that. You think it's just a 7-8-year-old kid.
I think
just
the same way that we've seen a rise in homosexuality and people being able to come out as who they are, it's the same thing happening
that
with transgender.
That is very different, though.
No,
homosexuality,
it's 50 years ago,
no,
you wouldn't even
no,
admit
it's
it.
It's very different because homosexuality is not calling into question basic biology. And now these same people, this is what I find so interesting. These same people on the left that are
No, but that's not my point.
Yeah,
my
I know, but you're comparing it though.
Yeah, my point is that 50 years ago, there people weren't coming out. Yeah, society's changed and now it's a lot easier to come out and we see more gay people openly gay around.
Not at the same rate as transgenderism though.
That's okay because it's a recent occurrence. The science is new. Like these things have only become accessible recently. And we're seeing so many more people be like, yes, I have access to that. And I can be who I want to be. And that wasn't a possibility for them 20 years ago.
Well, I'm glad you said be who I want to be rather than be what I am. Because that seems to be it. That what this is coinciding perfectly with this whole transhumanist idea. And it's very much in line with a lot of things that you disagree with about artificial intelligence and the metaverse. It is very much in line. So we will do an episode about that because what's happening right now is directly related to that. It's people saying, well, I want to be a certain thing, okay? And through technologies like artificial intelligence and the metaverse, they will be enabled to do those things. And technologies like sex change operations, mm-hmm. right? Essentially bodily mutilation is what it is. Now, does that mean that that's what they are and that's following the natural course? No, of course not.
No, the natural course is they want to be that and now they have the chance to be that.
You think it's a healthy thing to cut off a man's penis and try to transition him into a woman?
If that's what they want to be, yes.
But if what they want to be is driven by a condition / disorder, why is it not better to treat whatever's causing that rather than completely mutilate their body to match their disordered brain?
Because it's going to make them happier.
Yeah, how do you know that?
Like,
how do you know that? The science
also,
is not there to support
also
that.
It's not, you can't, maybe you can't fix the mental condition. Maybe that is.
So you're going to mutilate their body and give them
because
hormones?
That's what they want.
Okay, but again, some people want to kill themselves.
And fixing the mental condition in our society, we don't allow people to be in between.
So we allow
people to mutilate
their bodies. Well, again, the transgender people are choosing the box and saying, well, I have to fit into this because if I don't, then I'm not my true self. So who's really perpetuating the gender norms and the boxes, as you say? I would say it's the people on the transgender side.
No, it's the way that humanity is developed.
Instead of accepting the fact that men express themselves differently, different men act differently. There is not one way to be a man. There's not one way to be a woman. And that's fine. Some women can like
men things. But our society
has
not really allowed
that
to happen.
That's not true. Go back to California and tell me that's not happening.
Our society hasn't really allowed
that
to happen.
Maybe 50, 60 years ago, but that is not the case now.
And with a lot of, for example, a drag queen, okay? Yeah, man, probably a gay man, sometimes a straight man, sometimes a transgender man, wants to dress up as a woman, being banned from schools. Like,
yeah, that is perfectly appropriate.
No, that is exactly what it is. It's a man who wants to dress as a woman.
They
mutilated themselves. They put on some makeup. Fine.
So
why is that not allowed?
Why should it be allowed in
schools?
Because
you're exposing
kids
to all the different ways of life. All the ways you want to live.
Now,
if you can show a kid, hey, you can be a man who dresses up as a woman and dances on stage, that's fine.
Would you feel the same
way
about a Catholic priest or a Christian minister coming in and saying, you can do this, you can be baptized, you can follow Jesus Christ? No, of course you wouldn't feel that way.
Well, no, you should be taught and exposed to all the things.
So you would be okay with that?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
But you're more for the drag queen coming into an elementary school and sexualizing children, because the fact is not about whether it's a drag queen or not. The fact is that drag is inherently sexual. Now, why? It's not? It's not? You ever seen a drag show? You're telling me it's not inherently sexual?
I've watched 17 seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay, and you don't think it's
inherently
sexual?
No.
So what's it about then?
It's comedy. It's like expression.
And there's nothing sexual about it?
No, not necessarily.
Dr. Frushi, come on. You and I both know that's not true. That is not true. I honestly think so. You honestly think so?
I honestly think so.
So what I would say is that...
As a big fan of RuPaul and RuPaul's Drag Race, and like having watched literally 20 seasons of that show...
Yeah, but RuPaul's Drag Race is not...
I do not consider it sexualized.
Okay, because another way to look at that is to say that a man doing that is acting out his sexual fetish in public in front of children. You don't think that that's the case?
No, okay. Absolutely
well,
not.
Well, take sex away from the intimate act of sex and use sex in the context of biological sex, not gender, because gender and sex are different, that him doing that is acting out some kind of, don't call it a fetish, but it's some kind of deviation that is related to the relationship between the male and female sex. That's not true. So what is it?
I don't really understand what you're saying. But
I'm saying that it is a sexual inclination in the sense that he gets something. Maybe it's not a sexual thing that he's engaging in, but he gets something out of playing with the idea of sex. Sex in the sense of male and female biological sex.
It's a character. Yeah, so they feel
exactly.
Like
it's a character. It's so like, why? So it is exactly. It's performative. It's a character. So why then would you advocate for somebody, doctors in this case, and just the society at large, to say it's okay to mutilate your body?
Because it's different. It's different to being a drag queen. If somebody wants to live their entire life as a woman, when they're a man, that's fine. A drag queen lives their life as a man and puts on makeup and puts on a character and lives their life in their fullest expression.
They don't need to be around children to do that. They can live
fine.
They can. Well, it's not perfectly fine.
It's you exposing children to different ways of living life. And it's like beautiful. Like, so RuPaul's Drag Race has been going on for 17 seasons. And now we're in like the most recent season. And these men who have been watching the show since they were in their teens are honestly like, this has changed my life.
Yeah,
and it showed
me who I can be. It's a form of indoctrination. It changed their life because they were exposed to it over that many years.
And
of course,
you realize,
that's gonna,
oh my God, yeah, that is my truth.
Maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe their truth was shaped by being exposed to that for that long. Let me offer you this. So if it was the same child, and they were in a fundamentalist Christian, you know, an evangelical Christian household for the same amount of time and exposed to that, right? And they chose that as their path. Oh my God, this is my path. Would you say that that is actually their path, or would you say they were indoctrinated?
Were they grown up in a household that was open to different now, things, or was that all they were taught?
Well, first
when
of all,
you,
it's
when
it's
you're
not,
a small little gay boy, you're not only living RuPaul's Drag Race fantasy your whole life. That's not the only thing you're taught. You're exposed to all kinds of things. And this is one snippet of something that you were shown that really resonates with you.
Maybe it resonates with you.
But when you're growing up in
an
evangelical household, that is all you know. So if that's all you know, and then you end up that way, it's a question of whether it is your
true path. See, that is so judgmental. And you're assuming that this leftist ideology that perpetuates things like transgenderism and that advocates for drag queens to go into elementary schools and expose kids, that I just don't understand that. You're assuming that they are so open, and that is not the case. They are not open-minded. You agree with the leftist ideology or you're out. If you even express even the slightest bit of conservative thought, you are out. So this idea that it's so open, that is untrue, completely and totally false. Because I guarantee you, if the situation were reversed and you had a Christian kid that were in the same position, you would take the opposite stance and you would say they were indoctrinated. They were shaped by that. So how is it not the case that they are shaped and indoctrinated by this leftist religion that perpetuates this insanity that men can be women? And that if they feel like they're a woman,
because men
and
have
a man,
been wanting to be women for hundreds and thousands of years.
Men,
this isn't new.
People have wanted to kill each other for hundreds of thousands of years. There's all
we
kinds
still
of
do
things.
It. Like, it's not new.
No, it is. This iteration of it is entirely new.
Exposing the world to it is new. Making it.
It is, Rushi. There is no historical equivalent to this. Because if there were, then why did you not see, use the example of India, why did you not see India as a country adopt the kind of things that America's adopting now.
Because hijras, or transgendered folk in India, are allowed to live their life out exactly how they want
to. Exactly, because they don't require the rest of society to completely reorient itself and reimagine what is true and what is not true. That is why. That is why. That is not what's happening in America right now. That's not what's happening in Europe. And Europe actually has pulled back on it because they recognize how dangerous it is. Because at a certain point, you have to say, there are truths about life. We are, and then this gets back, and we'll wrap it up here, because this is something we always come back to, which is you can have all these high-minded ideas of what could be and what is possible and transcending in the fifth dimension and all this transhumanist bullshit. But the reality is, you're here. You're stuck with the physical reality. If you're born to this world with a penis, accept that, regardless of how you feel. I identify sometimes as a 6 foot five. No, but here, let me take this. So I identify sometimes as a 6 foot five black man, right? I would love to be able to like play basketball like LeBron James. I would love that, right? That would be super cool. So why would I have the right, because I have that idea of myself, do I have the right to go out into society and ask the rest of people in society to affirm me in that delusion?
Okay, so there's this documentary that's—
No, like, but answer the question though. Do I have that right?
I have to answer it with this, because there's a documentary of this woman, forget her name, I think Rachel, and this was in, say, Seattle.
Yeah, I remember.
And she identified as a black person, even though she was white, and the black community were really upset about it.
I bet they were.
But I watched that documentary, honestly, being like, if she wants to live her woman life out as a black person, like, I didn't really get the point of that documentary. I was like, if we can let people live, a man live as a woman, then why can't we let this woman live as a black person?
Well, I completely agree. If you're gonna open it up to that logic, yeah, that race is much more fluid than biological, yeah, sex, absolutely. I didn't really get that.
I
appreciate your adherence to your principles, as off as they may be at times. At least you're consistent, yeah, right? Because you do actually believe that people should be allowed to express themselves. I admire your position. I don't agree with it logically, because I think
that's
just not
true. In
the
way they want, and I don't think any other people should have anything to say about it.
Well,
really.
In the same way, I want to live my life based on at least some semblance of reality and some semblance of truth about things that we can and do observe about the world. So I don't want somebody else coming in and completely upending that and saying there's no such thing.
They're not asking you to live as a woman.
No, well, of course they're not asking me to live as a woman, but they're asking society as a whole to affirm them in their delusion and completely redefine what is truth. Now, that is incredibly dangerous. Incredibly dangerous.
I think you're—
Because where does that lead?
I think you're exaggerating.
Where does that lead? Yeah. Go and see what's happening in America right now. It is not pretty. And it leads to the downfall of society when you allow things to just be whatever they are or whatever they think they are.
That's the opposite of what Taoist philosophy would say.
Well, it is, but I said that wrong. I said when you allow people to be what they want to be rather than what they are. That is perfectly in line with Taoist philosophy. Do you think— getting back to Taoism, because we got to wrap it up.
Because what they want to be is a natural course. It's a natural thought.
Maybe.
It is.
How is that a natural thought? Because according to them, God or whatever energy you believe created humans and created life made a mistake.
Yeah. I mean, that's okay. Mistakes happen. That's how natural selection happened. That's how mutations happen in nature.
Is it our right, to get back to this idea of rights, to interfere with that, with surgery and with medication?
Yes.
This does not sound like Rushi to me. I think that you hesitate on that one.
No.
Because I know, okay, we'll wrap it up here, but I just want you to think about that.
Don't look at it on a societal level. On an individual level, this person feels like they were in the wrong body.
Well, according to Taoist philosophy, that there's no such thing. That it is what it is.
I suppose. Okay.
Well, I think there's nothing that's more of an affront to Taoism than surgical intervention, because you think that God made a mistake and you're stuck in the wrong body. I mean, I can't even think of anything that would be more against the philosophy of the Tao than that.
But you live your life wanting it, you know?
But the question is why, though?
Because that's how you associate. I think neither of us have this mental condition, so it's really hard for us to talk about.
I think every single human that's ever existed has had the idea that, you know what, like, I want to be something else. I am not happy with some part of my physical body. And this, because I've heard this before, we have no idea what they're going to, no, we do. We do. Everybody has had that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I like I said earlier, I would love to be taller, right? I would love to be
so
like,
should access to plastic surgery and all those kind of things be gone as well?
I would absolutely throw in plastic surgery with all of this. Absolutely. That's why I feel the way I feel about plastic surgery. I think it's monstrous to allow doctors to do that to people. I have incredible amount of compassion for people that suffer with gender dysphoria. I imagine that is really difficult. And that's why I'm saying the first thing you need to do is accept your physical body for what it is. That is the compassionate perspective. How is that not the compassionate perspective?
I mean, it is the compassionate perspective, but I think you asking that person to do something or like accept themselves, I think isn't really your place.
Well, yes, it is. We get back to this. It's all of our place to decide what kind of society we want to live in. Do we want to live in society where doctors are not only allowed, but encouraged to take, in some cases, a young child as young as 12 years old, and say that child identifies as the opposite sex, that doctor says to them, we are going to get you on puberty blockers immediately to stop this natural process of you developing into a young adult. We're going to stop that from happening with pharmaceuticals, and we are going to surgically alter your body
in order to, that's what the kid wants.
A 12-year-old child.
I don't agree with it when the parents are encouraging it.
Yeah,
because
there's
a
lot of that that
happens. An adult or like, somebody wants to do that, they should have that ability.
Well, we can certainly talk about that.
And you shouldn't
block
that ability from them because naturally we've already created it.
I think that you absolutely should block people from that ability and say that is not the compassionate way to go about this.
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree then.
Rishi, but there's no, look at what those gender transition surgeries do. In the case of a woman, in a lot of cases, they take a huge chunk of flesh out of their inner thigh and try to mold some kind of fake penis out of that. I'm not grossed out by it. I feel incredible.
The person undergoing the surgery wants that.
You don't know that. You do not know that because they, according to the gender ideology, they have a disorder. There was a mistake that was made and they need medical care to fix it. Okay, go with that logic then. If that is the logic, not my logic, their logic, if that's the logic, how in God's name is that the best way to treat it? It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense. And I'm not grossed out by it. I'm like, it hurts me to think that somebody hates their body that much that they will do that to themselves to make them look like they're something else. And they will never be that.
Live in the box that society wants them to live in.
Live in the box that now liberal society in America, especially very progressive left-leaning sides of society, have now created this new box of transgenderism. And now it's so interesting to me and it's so contradictory. So to escape those gender norms, they've just completely given into the gender norms and saying, well, now I'm a woman. Oh, okay. Sure. What happened to just being what you are? That's all I'm saying. Because now
I don't
just
think there's many people who say that, though. I don't think there is a place for.
There are not people, many people that
like,
say what?
Be who you want to be. You know, like, I mean, as in like Rishi, live as a boy in an uncomfortable with
not,
your live with
not,
your mental disorder.
Not,
I don't think there are many people that say that. I don't think there is a box for people to live like to live that way.
For live what
to
way?
Live with this mental disorder. That's not. It's not a possibility.
Maybe there doesn't need to be a box then. So why create a new one?
I mean, not
one?
A box. Like there's no place in society for that. So you.
What do you mean there's no place in society for that?
Right now. I don't think there is a place in society for people to live unhappily.
But
in
you can exist.
Body.
You can be a biological male and be anything that you want to be. You can.
Including
you
a
there,
drag queen.
I mean, the drag thing, I just don't agree. Sure, of course, I don't mind that, but I do mind bringing that into schools. Like, why? I mean, you're not going to bring burlesque dancers into schools. To me, it's the same fucking thing. Like, nobody's advocating for that. I am advocating for not exposing kids to over-sexualized things when it's gratuitous like that. whether it's heterosexual sexuality or in this case, the drag queens. It's just, that doesn't make any sense, but that's a different conversation.
What I mean is, I don't think there is an area, not a box, an area for people.
Go to Santa Cruz, go to San Francisco, go to any of those weird, go to Portland. There is a place for all those people. All these offbeat people, there is a place for them. I'm a huge believer that there are many ways to be a man. There are many ways to be a woman.
But I don't think the rest of society believes that.
Again, Rishi, go to San Francisco, go to Portland.
These are like
go
very
to Los Angeles.
Small, huh? Like
Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland,
like very,
New York, small.
I mean, they're very like those, centralized places, whereas like
yeah,
a lot of people don't have an opportunity to go there to be exposed to those things.
Well, but those ideas have proliferated throughout Western society. So, and if America gets such a bad rap, then I don't know why, because we seem to still be the bastions of free thought and free expression. So I don't know. It doesn't seem to match up. But all that aside, people are allowed to do what they want to do. So much so that now doctors are allowed to medically transition, mutilate young children to make them into things that they are not. And that is an unhealthy thing for society. And it is certainly not fitting with the Taoist way.
We're gonna have to agree to disagree.
I don't know. I mean, Taoist. All right. Well, we took a very, very long digression. But thank you, Rishi. I'm glad that we can still be friends even after all this. And I appreciate that you are consistent. I really do. Because you will take it to an extreme sometimes. And it's like, whoa.
So do you.
Well, not really. I'm not being extreme. I'm just saying that you shouldn't allow people to mutilate themselves. You shouldn't allow people to mutilate themselves. What's extreme about that? Well, this is another thing I want to address. That this what seems to be occurring to me is that now counterculture seems to be more aligned with conservative values. That now if you look at progressive society, liberal nations, more like liberalized nations in the world, that the counterculture is actually conservative. So yeah, maybe it is extreme, but actually, like we talk about a lot in this show, it's very much rooted in traditional wisdom. So that's all I'll say. Well, we took a serious digression, but I still love you.
Love you too.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I'm glad for that. I know you're pissed off at me, but it's okay. It's well, that was our Taoism episode. Yeah.
Bit off topic.
I'm gonna have to name it Taoism/transgender debate because that'll describe it more accurately.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Rishi.
Thank
so
you.
You're going to be going out of town.
Yeah.
I guess we don't need to tell people that.
No, we're still going to record a few more.
We're still going to record a few more. So, well, thank you for listening, everyone.
Thanks.
Argument. Please, if you like the show, please subscribe, follow, like, share. Did I hit them all? We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok now, too. Rishi's going to be a little...
YouTube.
Yeah, right. YouTube. Yeah, we're on YouTube, too. So yeah, thank you for joining us and we will see you next week. We'll have to do another episode on Taoism. We can actually talk about it.
We hit most of the points.
I think
first
we did
half,
too. All right, we'll see you soon.
Bye.